بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني بقولي، ونفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. My respected brothers and elders and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm hoping we finish on time. If everyone can just squeeze in a little bit more, it makes the gathering look a little bigger. So if I get more, you know, have more targhib to give talk, inshallah. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu, when they used to sit in gatherings, and this is also important that we learn the adab of gatherings. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu used to sit so close that if you were to put a sheet over them, you would not see any dips in the sheet, meaning that they would be sitting so close and their heads would be completely leveled in that time. And they were used to sit in front of the Prophet in such a way that they said, as if birds could perch themselves on their heads, subhanAllah. May Allah grant us that tawfiq of practicing on these sunan, these beautiful etiquettes of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. May Allah allow us to reward gain tremendous reward from this gathering of talking about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah allow us to take these lessons home, and may Allah increase our iman and our conviction. We are going to be discussing today, inshallah, about the second part of the Battle of Uhud. We spoke about the last half a couple of weeks ago, and so some people, it might be fresh on their minds. Other people might have completely forgotten about it, which is fine. I'll give you a quick recap of what we spoke about last time. And obviously, I can't capture every moment. Every moment is so precious, right? So what happened was we discussed about how the Prophet he left out with a group of 1,000 of his companions. And then what happens when he left outside with 1,000 of them, 300 were actually hypocrites and they departed right away. So the Prophet actually went out with 700. And he was versing against a huge army of Abu Sufyan coming down from Mecca. When he came down from Mecca, he came down with 3,000 soldiers, 3,000 versus 700. And so the Prophet has a beautiful idea, and that is to put their backs towards the Mount Uhud. And the Prophet sets up his camp there. And on the right side, the Prophet ﷺ puts down archers, so that way no one can come from behind and attack the army from behind, from the army of the Meccans. And so when the Meccans come down, they actually come down on the left side. And so the Prophet ﷺ made it so in such a way that if they were to go straight down into Medina, the Muslims would attack them from behind. And so they had to face the Muslims from forward and go towards Uhud. It was a very beautiful tactic. So the Prophet ﷺ, he designs the battle like so, and then they start the battle. And we all know in the beginning, the Muslims were winning. It was a victory on all sides. You could see it, that the Muslims were victorious from every way you were looking at the battle. But the thing was that we noticed in the battle was as soon as the Meccans or the Qurayshi started to leave, you saw that the army started to flee. There was one group of the archers, which were perched onto that mountain, right? They actually start to come down. The Prophet ﷺ told them specifically, it said very specifically, he said that do not come down, even if you see that we are being devoured by birds. This was a strict command from the Prophet. Unfortunately, because they saw the war spoils and they thought they would miss out, some of the people, the archers actually came down. And even their leader at that time, he actually announced to them and he said that don't go down. The Prophet said not to go down, but they didn't listen to him. And so actually they were martyred. Khalid ibn Walid was that one part of the army. If you remember, he didn't move. They were fighting against Khalid ibn Walid. He wasn't moving. He was just waiting. Watching for an opportunity, and he saw the opportunity when he saw the archers come down. So he actually took his squadron, which was all the way on the right side, and brings them all the way around, goes from behind, kills all the archers, majority of them, and those who ran down are still there, right? And they come down like a flood all the way down on the Muslims. And so the Muslims are in complete disarray at the moment. At that time, it becomes complete utter chaos, right? They don't know what to do. The Prophet is, you know, if we're talking about the battle, we're talking about, again, it's three squadrons, right? Three big groups. There's this group on the right, the middle, and the top left. The Prophet is basically on the top left. He's near to the camp, all that Uhud. And so when the battle is going on and people are dying left and right, we talked about this. One thing happens is the Prophet has to make a plan. What should he do? Should he retreat, go back to Uhud, the base camp, or should he go down and try to save the Muslims? And we talked about this, that the Prophet was unbelievably courageous. He would never leave the Muslims by themselves. So the Prophet ﷺ actually said, instead of going back and retreating, let's go down and let's open up a way so that the Muslims can escape because they're getting killed from front and from back. They don't know what to do. So the Prophet ﷺ actually makes a way. And what does the Prophet ﷺ do? He says, Ha ana Rasulullah. He says, I'm the messenger of Allah here. And so now what happens is the Quraysh, they're looking at the Prophet ﷺ and they try to attack him. Ibn Qamiyah comes, one of the most disgraceful people in the world. He comes and attacks the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ gets injured on his cheek, ﷺ, and on his forehead, ﷺ. And he starts to bleed, ﷺ, to the point this man named Utbah ibn Abi Waqqas, brother of Sa'd, Utbah actually throws a rock at the Prophet ﷺ and damages the tooth, the Mubarak left tooth of the bottom right tooth of the Prophet. So these things happen, ﷺ, to the Prophet. And, you know, there's so much that's happening. We talked about it, that there was, you know, the Prophet had a group with him trying to defend him, but they all end up passing away as martyrs. There's just two guys left. One is Sa'd, the other one is Talha. We talked about Talha. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu used to brag about Uhud, and he used to say what? That Uhud is Talha's day. Because what did Talha do? The Prophet said, Talha, it's your turn, go. And he fought, and he fought, and he fought. And he defeated everyone in front of him. Talha was the man. He defeated everyone in front of him. And they start to push and push. And while Talha is fighting, and we talked about it, 35 to 39 wounds on his body. Some people, Aisha radiallahu anha says, Abu Bakr radiallahu anha counted the wounds. He said about 70 wounds on Talha radiallahu anhu's body. And they said that Talha radiallahu anhu, one of his arms, they said his right arm, was hit so many times by arrows and shielding for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that one arrow, one hand actually became paralyzed. And some of his fingers were chopped off. And so the Prophet used to talk about, if you want to see a living martyr, look at Talha radiallahu anhu, right? This is what we know, we understand. And so there were people, there are amazing people on that battlefield. Really, there were amazing people. Hamza radiallahu anhu was there. Abu Dujana radiallahu anhu was there. There's so many things to talk about. I wish we could do the first part again today because of how amazing that part was. So the Prophet ﷺ finally makes a breakthrough. And so now there are three groups of Muslims. One group of Muslims are the ones that were, unfortunately, they were the ones who were running away from the battlefield. Some of them were getting killed. And so they weren't really in the battle. What happens is when Ibn Qamiyah hits the Prophet ﷺ, when he runs away, he starts to say, I kill the messenger of Allah. He starts to say, I kill the messenger of Allah. This causes utter chaos. People are just like, forget it. This, we have to run away now. The messenger has died. What are we going to do? There's one group of them like that. There's another group that's looking for the Prophet ﷺ. They don't buy anything this man is saying. Who are they? Abu Bakr, Umar, you know, Ali radiallahu anhum. They're coming and actually they meet the Prophet ﷺ. And they finally regroup with him. That's actually where we left off from last time. And then the last part, there's another group is what? Those Muslims that understood what it meant to be Muslim. Which is those Muslims that understood that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is living, he never dies. Muhammad is a messenger like other messengers. One day he will pass away. Whereas Allah that is living, he never dies. There were people like Mus'ab radiallahu anhu, we talked about. Mus'ab radiallahu anhu, and these are Muslims that are what? They were there on Uhud because they wanted to show Allah ta'ala that we are true Muslims. Their life was what? As if they were on a stage. And they understood that in this life, we have to show Allah ta'ala that we're really on this kalima. We don't budge on this kalima. So they were willing to give their lives. So the first one was Mus'ab radiallahu anhu. When he saw people running away, he said, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدَ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرَّسُولِ. He started to announce this. The ayah came down on his tongue, basically. He goes and says that Muhammad is nothing but a messenger. Messengers have come before him. And so he is, he's holding the flag. So then they cut off his arm and then he grabs it with his left hand. And then he says, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ. Muhammad is nothing but a messenger. Cuts off his left arm. He holds it with like the stubs of his hands and he holds it to his chest. He says, I'm not letting this flag drop. Muhammad is nothing but a messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mus'ab, he finally gets impaled and he drops to the ground. Now Mus'ab radiallahu anhu has extraordinary characteristics, amazing characteristics. One of the most amazing things about him was the fact that he looked like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when they saw him fall, this is when some people started to say, Rasulullah, Muhammad has died. This is when it became serious. Now people really started to run away. Then there's this man named Anas ibn Nadhr radiallahu anhu. Anas ibn Nadhr says, where are you all going? Where are you running to? I smell the fragrance of Jannah coming from Uhud. You know, he was upset. He missed Badr. And he started to say, where are you going? Uhud has the fragrance of Jannah. He could smell it. And he said, I'm running straight towards it. He was attacked and hit so many times. The wounds were so many on his body that the only one who could recognize him after the 80 wounds on his body was his sister. Subhanallah. Anas ibn Nadhr radiallahu anhu. We know Thabit ibn Dahdah, when Khalid ibn Walid was coming down, Thabit sees, he's like, if I can take out this group of Khalid, then I'll save the Muslims. He says, Muhammad has passed away. No problem. We'll meet him on the other side. Subhanallah. So he goes and says that he looks for Khalid and he tries to fight him. Unfortunately, he becomes a martyr too. There are these Muslims out there, amazing people, amazing people. We get this man named Khaisama. Khaisama radiallahu anhu. Khaisama was one father. He was a father that he wanted to go to the battle, but he had a son who also wanted to go to the battle. I'm talking about the Battle of Badr. In Badr, these two were there. And so Khaisama and his son, they decided to draw lots. You know, rock, paper, scissors, flip a coin, something like that. You know, let's pick some straws. Let's figure out who will go to the Badr and who will stay here. So Khaythama and his son did this, and obviously his son was chosen to go to Badr. And his son became a martyr. He became a shaheed in Badr. So now Khaythama, a couple of days before Uhud, sees a dream. He sees his son and says, "Oh dad, where are you? We're waiting for you in Jannah. We're waiting for you in Jannah." And he says, "Oh son, how are you doing?" He said, we're enjoying, oh father. Come reunite with us. Come with us." So he comes to the Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says, Oh Rasulullah alayhi sallam, I want to go onto the battlefield. My son is waiting for me." And so Khaythama goes on the battlefield, becomes a martyr, subhanAllah. You get these types of amazing people. Mukhayriq, he was a Jew at the time, but when he saw that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he commanded all the Jews, remember the treaty, that if we're getting attacked in Medina, you have to defend the city. So Mukhayriq actually goes to all of his tribe and says, "You guys, you know that we're supposed to go and fight, right? Muhammad told us to fight. We signed a treaty. We signed a contract." And what did they say? "Today's the day of Sabbath. Today's the Sabbath. What is Sabbath? It's lazy day, right? Take a break. Don't do anything. Don't touch anything." They said, "Today's Yom Sabt. Uhud was on Saturday." They weren't lying. Mukhayriq said, "La Sabta lakum. Forget your Sabbath. You die with your Sabbath. Go wherever." He said, "I'm going to fight." And so he actually makes a will. He makes a will. And this is why we know. Scholars have discussed if he's a Jew or a Muslim. They said most likely he's a Muslim, because what did he write in his will? He said, "If I die, all my wealth goes to Muhammad. If I die, all my wealth goes to Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." So he goes on the battlefield. He fights valiantly. And so the Prophet finally sees his body afterwards and says, "This is the best of all the Jews." This man named Mukhayriq radiallahu anhu, meaning that he was a Jew before, became a Muslim, mashallah. And he gave all his wealth to the Prophet. You have a man named Wahab al-Muzani and his nephew. Both of them were a bit late to Uhud. What happened? They came into Medina. They were herding their sheep. And they see, and they're trying to find the Prophet, they're trying to find the Muslims. They're not there. And they're looking around. So Wahab and his nephew start to panic, and they start asking. They said they went out to Uhud. So they're like, "Yo, let's go. So they took their horses or the camels. They rushed as fast as they could to get to Uhud. They missed the entire morning, and they came in right when the Muslims were defeating the non-Muslims. And then finally Khalid ibn Walid comes down. Wahab al-Muzani and his nephew, they rush, they fight through the battle. They ram through everyone, and they find the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wahab, he goes and says, "Oh Messenger of Allah, do you need any assistance? Do you need any help?" And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Here, take this army, fight this people." And Wahab looks at it. It's a huge group of people. There's no way he could win. Really, there's no way he could win. But he goes there because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded him to, and he beats them. He knocks down all of them. Then another group of 10 or 20 people come, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Wahab, go again." And Wahab goes and he fights them and he beats them again. And then the third group comes, and the Prophet says, "Wahab, go one more time. You know it's going to be the last." Wahab goes and he fights against them. He becomes a martyr. And the Sa'ad radiallahu anhu was there. Sa'ad ibn Waqqas radiallahu anhu was there. And and Umar radiallahu anhu used to say this too. They used to look at Wahab and say, "Man, if we could have a death like Wahab, defending the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam like that." So brave and so courageous was Wahab radiallahu anhu that even Sa'ad radiallahu anhu in another battle called Qadisiyah, a long battle later on, Sa'ad used to remember Wahab. He used to say, "Man, if we could fight like he used to fight." Because this man was a man. These people came out there to do what? Rijalun sadaqu ma'ahadu Allah alayhi. This is the ayah. Men who have shown Allah Ta'ala that they are true Muslims. This ayah came down for whom? For Mus'ab. It came down for Anas. It came down for Wahab al-Muzani. It came down for Mukhayriq. It came down for all these sahaba. That they showed Allah Ta'ala they were true. We don't back down. We continue forward. There was this man, and so while this is happening, Sa'ad radiallahu is shooting the arrows, and the Prophet told him to shoot. And Sa'ad is like, "Ya Rasulullah, there's too many." And this is the thing, this is a miraculous battle. The Prophet is behind you. The Prophet says, "Shoot, O Sa'ad." So Sa'ad radiallahu finds one arrow in his quiver. He takes it and he shoots someone, right? And he fires and he hits the person, they die. And so Sa'ad radiallahu is looking for another arrow in his quiver, and he finds, he says, "Akhastu fa'arifuhu." He says, "I touched it, and it was the same arrow I shot. And I took it again and I fired it again and it hit someone else." And then he said, and then the Prophet says, "Shoot, O Sa'ad." And he's like, "Ya Rasulullah." And he's like, "If the Prophet said it, I'm shooting." He goes back and looks in his quiver. He finds another one, the same one that he shot again. He said, "I know this was the same arrow." He takes it and shoots it. And every single time he would do it, he finds the same exact one. This is like playing Call of Duty with like unlimited ammunition. You know what I'm saying? Like he's just firing, subhanAllah. And so the same arrow is coming to the point that Sa'ad said, "This is a mubarak arrow." He kept it, his children kept it, and they have it in their families, subhanAllah. This is amazing. Qatada bin Nu'man, there's so many people that just, they showed what it meant to be true Muslims. They came into the defense of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qatada bin Nu'man, radiallahu anhu, he came in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to try to shield him. So either a spear or an arrow or some type of hit hit him so hard on the face, his eye actually fell out of his socket. The eye came out. So the Prophet ﷺ looks at him and he's hurt so much, he's bleeding. The Prophet ﷺ takes the eye in his hand and places it back in, and then the Prophet ﷺ, he blows the dua on it. And then what does he find? Qatada, that's back in the spot. And he said that when my eyes used to be sore, I used to find that eye saw better than the other eye. This is what the miracles on that day were. Because it's not just, you can't think of Uhud as a day of defeat. You're not thinking of Uhud the right way. As Muslims, you should not think about it like that. There's some other things that are happening on that battlefield. So these are the extraordinary people. And so there are people on that battlefield again that ran away. There are certain Muslims that said, if Muhammad has died, we'll meet him on the other side. And so we need to ask ourselves sometimes too, that we have our iman reliant on someone else, some sheikh or some peer or some this or some that or some ta'weez or whatever. What if these things were not there? Where would you and I be? Will we be up for Fajr? Will we be praying our salah? Will we be doing our dua? And we came to America and there's no Islam here. Did we abandon the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Did we abandon Islam? This is what happens. This is how Allah does testing us. Where do our hearts go when the person that's supposed to lead us is no longer there? We say, Muhammadun illa Rasul. Qad khalat min qabli Rasul. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's going and he takes it down. Again, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is coming from all the way left. He's trying to break down into the attacking army of Khalid ibn Walid, who's attacking the Muslims from behind. And the Prophet is trying to make a way so that way the Muslims can go all the way, following the Prophet all the way up to the base of Mount Uhud. This is the Prophet's goal. So he actually comes down and finally he penetrates and he breaks through and he finally gets through to all the Muslims. Now the Muslims are, again, they're all running away. They're scared and terrified. But at that moment, they see who? The Prophet. So Ka'ab ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. Ka'ab actually starts screaming out loud and saying, Ya Rasulullah, you're alive! And the Prophet is like, you can't scream this right now. This is going to be bad. And obviously what happens when he screams out, Messenger of Allah is alive, but he's like, oh, he's still alive. And he's trying to come and attack him again. The Prophet says, Ka'ab, come here. And he says, Ya Rasulullah, if you say it, just switch armors with me. We need to get out of here, man. You're not making this easy for me, brother. So then the Prophet gives Ka'ab his armor and the Ka'ab gives the Prophet his armor. And the Prophet says, let's go. We have to keep going. These arrows are coming. Like, you can imagine how many arrows are coming at the Prophet. He has a man named Abu Talha, radiallahu anhu. The Prophet is hiding behind the shield. And so Abu Talha was an amazing archer, if you remember. Abu Talha, not the same Talha. Every guy whose name Talha is probably an amazing guy, mashallah. In any case, so Abu Talha, though he fires arrows so insane speed and so much strength. He used to pull on the bow, pulling the string back. He would pull it so hard to make it launch so far. He broke on that day two or three bows. He just kept launching and firing. And so the Prophet ﷺ would be behind the shield and he would be defending like that. And so the Prophet ﷺ would like to see. He would like to see what Abu Talha is shooting. He used to say on that day, give the arrows to Abu Talha. And the Prophet ﷺ would say to Sa'd, also give it to Sa'd radiallahu anhu. Sa'd on that day shot 1,000 arrows. Allahu Akbar. Abu Talha, he's shooting and you see the Prophet ﷺ come out with his chest exposed. Then Abu Talha would say, Ya Rasulullah, please, I know you want to see where I shoot, but if you can just keep your chest back, because rather my chest gets struck before your chest. Allahu Akbar. Rather my get hit before you get hit, O Messenger of Allah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Talha will shoot, the Prophet is running, arrows are coming. Who comes next? Abu Dujana. You remember this guy? The guy who, the red bandana guy, the red turban guy, the turbanator, the monster on the battlefield, destroying everyone. You know, he kills everything, he fries to everyone. And then what happens is he comes, and the Prophet says something, he's defending him. So arrows are coming. He actually puts his back to all the arrows. He takes all the arrows. He doesn't even move a single inch. Subhanallah. Abu Dujana is there, radiallahu anhu, taking all the arrows for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They're all moving and rushing as fast as they can. Everyone's going together. Abu Bakr is there now. Umar is there now. You got nothing to worry about, man. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is moving with everyone and all moving forward, trying to get through to Uhud. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finally reaches there. And what does he see? Khalid ibn Walid. This man is a genius. This man is a genius. He knows the Muslims are running away. So he tells himself, I have to intercept them. So he actually starts to move on the side of the mountain, tries to get the high ground, so that way he can maintain control of the battlefield. So what does the Prophet do? He sees Khalid is going up there. And he says, Umar, go. Umar radiallahu anhu takes a squadron. They go up there and they challenge Khalid up there. And they actually beat down Khalid's team. They have to retreat. So that way the Prophet can go up properly. So what does the Prophet, subhanAllah, this is an amazing battle. It's an amazing battle. The Prophet starts to move forward. And finally, alhamdulillah, the path is made. He comes up to a rock, some type of boulder that he cannot ascend by himself. There's a lot of pain. I know I described to you a little bit of it. But the Prophet is extremely injured right now. he's hurt badly. If you remember, he was making dua, Allah forgive them for what they did because they don't know. This is what the Prophet says, I'm an amazing person. So he actually comes there and he can't get over this one rock. So then Talha radiallahu anhu, amazing individual again, he comes and lowers himself and says, oh, Messenger of Allah, step on me to go up there. Step on me to go up there. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he climbs over Talha and goes over. And at that moment, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, awjaba Talha. Jannah is wajib for Talha. Jannah is wajib for Talha. At that moment, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says these beautiful words. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam finally ascends and he goes over there. And he finally finds a small little mountain pass. Okay? And alhamdulillah, this is the first time the Prophet is bleeding and he's injured. And obviously in the Muslim camp, you have certain sisters there. And you have Muslimas there that are nurses that will treat the Muslims. Again, they are not required to go onto the battlefield, and it's not even something Islam even promotes. But in terms of the Ummu Ammara we talked about last time, that she was the only woman on the battlefield. She's probably the only one in record we have on the battlefield because she saw that the Prophet was about to die. She actually comes down and tries to help the Prophet. This is a matter of iman. No, this is a brave sister at the moment that she knows. Her fiqh is so deep. She knows if my life goes, not a big deal. If the Prophet goes, that's a big deal. She's the one who goes down to fight for the Prophet. But other than that, you have sisters up there. One of them is Fatima radiallahu anha. One of them is Fatima radiallahu anha. The Prophet, Ali radiallahu anhu is there, Fatima radiallahu anhu is there. And they start to look at the face of the Prophet. And this moment, you need to understand how bloody the Prophet was. How injured the Prophet was. His one of his two teeth are chipped. His cheek is torn. There's a gash on his forehead. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he's hurting. This man Ibn Qamiyah attacked the shoulder of the Prophet. He's injured. Alayhi salatu wasalam. It's very difficult for the Prophet at this moment. And we know that Malik ibn Sinan before on the battlefield, he did some immediate quick as much as he could. Abu Ubaidah too. There were links that were from the helmet of the Prophet which were stuck onto the cheek of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Abu Ubaidah actually takes with his teeth, he starts to try to yank out the chains or the links that were on the cheek of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Abu Ubaidah with his teeth has to do this. Actually, some of the teeth of Abu Ubaidah fall out because of this. They're willing to sacrifice everything for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Malik ibn Sinan sees the blood and he starts to clean up the blood. The blood is still coming. So then he puts his mouth to try to clean the blood of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he ends up consuming some of it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The fire will not touch you, O Malik ibn Sinan." Subhanallah, this is their love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You can't understand this unless you are a true Muslim of that kalima, that you love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than anything else. And unfortunately, we don't have that. People would sacrifice anything to get a seat next to any basketball player or a football player or someone that we think of. Even we got a Bollywood seat, man. You get next to one of these guys, Amir Khan, people would be out of the masjid, you know, on that day. We said Amir Khan was like in Burlington Mall. No one would be sitting here. Are you joking? You know, this is how we are. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is waiting for us on the other side. He said, what? Your ticket is sunnah. Just practice on my sunnah and you'll get to me. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Prophet reaches there, his daughter is terrified. See, Fatima radiallahu anha is looking at the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And so then Fatima radiallahu anha says, the Prophet comes there and then they bring some water from Uhud. And this is how the Prophet is. They bring some water from Uhud and Ali radiallahu anha tries to give the Prophet something to drink. The Prophet tastes it, says, this is not good water. Give me something else. You know, like this is how the Prophet has a very strict diet. You know, they're very sensitive about what you eat. People unfortunately don't care. We eat like cows. Cows don't care, right? Dry grass, wet grass, this grass, that grass, doesn't matter as long as it goes in the mouth, right? Halal, haram, doesn't matter. As long as it tastes good, right? You know, this burger joint, that burger joint, halal eats, this eats, whatever. It doesn't matter. We just eat whatever. The Prophet says something, even at that moment, oh, this says, give me some better water. This is not going to work. So then Ali radiallahu anhu says, oh, Messenger of Allah, we'll just wash over the wound and everything. So they wash over. The Prophet is cleaning up and he's making wudu, but the blood is not going. I should delete for the Hanafi mother. The Prophet needs wudu, but blood is going. It's not working, right? So it's the madhab say. Wudu is not going to go. You have to stop the blood. Subhanallah. Okay. So the Prophet wasalam, is at that moment, Fatima sees that it's not going. So the Prophet, she takes a straw mat or something and she starts to burn it. And so it becomes, you know, a bit like cindered. And so then she puts it there and makes like a semi-cauterization of the wound. So that way the wound will stop bleeding. So then she puts it onto the wound and it completely seals up. Subhanallah. At that moment, Fatima radiallahu anha, then finally the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes wudu and everything. They're pouring the wudu for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some one other sahabi brings good fresh water for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He thanked him, made dua for him. And then finally, at this moment, at this finally calm and relaxed moment, what do you think the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did? He started to pray salah. Allahu Akbar. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at this moment, he says, this is the time to pray salah. إِذَا حَزَبَهُ أَمْرٌ صَلَّى. This is the misdaq. This is the testimony to this hadith. They used to say when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when matters became difficult for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he used to pray salah. It's something that you and I, if we could just remember this when difficulty comes, just pray two rakats. Allah will take care of it. Really, wallahi, Allah will take care of it. Allah's so kind. You remember him at that moment. You think Allah won't remember you then? Come on. So the Prophet starts to pray. He can't stand up though because the injuries are too much. The weight is too much. He came in wearing two armors, if you remember. It's just too much. So the Prophet prays sitting down. Certain Sahaba pray sitting down with him. This is the time. This is early Islam. So don't worry about it. If Imam starts praying sitting down, don't sit down, okay? You stand up, okay? If he collapses, maybe someone should come and lead for him too, okay? If he leaves because of wudu breaking, someone else will come and lead, inshallah. Make sure the guy behind the Imam can take over the prayer, inshallah. So the Prophet starts to pray. And and at this moment, I remember when I was reading it, I said, Ya Allah, on the battlefield of Uhud, the Prophet is praying salah. Some people said that the Prophet was making Zuhr salah. He's making his father's prayer. Because the time came in. The Prophet always prayed in like the awal waqt, right? He prayed in the beginning of the time. And I think, Ya Allah, what excuse do I have? I'm watching something on YouTube, some Netflix thing is on, and I can't seem to pause it. You know, it's video games. Ya Allah, you know, Allah, I love you so much, but video games, what can I do? There's a Mario Kart, I had to hit the red shell, right? What am I supposed to do? It's how we are. It's how we are. And look at the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And once they finished the prayer, this is the extraordinary thing about Uhud. I told you, it's a miraculous battle. On that moment, there was a drowsiness that came across all the Sahaba. They all began to take some rest. They all fell asleep. A quick nap they had. ثُمَّ أَنزَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ الْغَمِّ أَمَنَسًا نُعَاسَيْ يَخْشَى طَائِفَةً مِنْكُمْ. If you remember Surah Al-Imran, then after we sent down a security for them, some drowsiness so they can get some rest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. At that moment, Abu Talha was saying, I was still fighting. But when the drowsiness came, he said, I was fighting, but I was falling asleep while attacking the guy. My sword would fall. I had to pick it up again. Imagine this. So relaxed they were on the battlefield that they're taking rest. Subhanallah, this is what Allah does at difficult times. He helps the Muslims. So the Prophet ﷺ and all the Sahaba, they take a quick sleep and they're rejuvenated and energized. And now the battle is starting to calm down. And now people are starting to notice. So Abu Sufyan hears the news that the Prophet ﷺ is dead. And Abu Sufyan starts to call off the battle. And he says that, okay, we accomplished our objective. Muhammad is dead. And but Abu Sufyan, he was worried because the one who gave him the news was Ibn Qami'ah. Okay? Obviously, you know this person's not the best guy in the world. So Ibn Abu Sufyan actually ascends one small little mountaintop and he starts to announce and he starts to see, are they really dead or not? Right? The battle is basically calming down. Everyone's kind of relaxed. They know the Muslims know Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is alive. The non-Muslims think they're dead. Abu Sufyan gets onto the mountaintop, one mountaintop, and he goes and says, Is Muhammad still alive from amongst you? Okay, so now who do you have hiding? This is a mountain pass they're all hiding in. You have the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you have Abu Bakr. And you have Umar radiallahu anhu. Number that is angry. He's very angry. He's like, I'm not letting him have this. The Prophet's like, quiet, don't say anything. Okay? And then then he goes and says, where is Abu Bakr? Is Abu Bakr still alive? Abu Sufyan saying, is Abu Bakr still alive? And again, Umar radiallahu anhu is getting angry. He's like holding it. And then he says, don't say anything. Don't say anything. Right? And then he says, Umar's still alive. Right? And at this moment, the Prophet said, don't say anything. Don't say anything. Right? And at this moment, Abu Sufyan, and by the way, one thing the scholars have noted was that even non-Muslims knew the rank of the Sahaba. They knew that the Prophet came first and Abu Bakr and Umar. That's why Abu Sufyan even mentioned it, subhanAllah. Any case, so then when he mentions that, and then Abu Sufyan says, he tells all the mushrikeen, he goes to the polytheists and says, as for Abu Muhammad and everything, you finished them. Good job. And at that moment, kazabta ya adu Allah. You lied, oh, enemy of Allah. You lied. You know, we are still alive. And we're still waiting. And we're still ready to go if you want to go. You know, he comes out. And then the Prophet's like, oh man, you know, we're going to expose ourselves. But Umar is up there and he's ready to argue and shout and yell. And Abu Sufyan, and now this is the chance. This is the battle, right? The Prophet was silent this entire time. Umar went up there by himself and started saying these things. And then, so Abu Sufyan starts to brag. Starts to brag about what? Where he comes from, who his people are, and what idol they used to worship. They say, U'lul Hubal, U'lul Hubal. He said, Hubal is one of their gods, one of the goddesses. And he says, rise, Hubal. We've won the battle today. Right? and then the Prophet at this moment, he was silent. Remember, the Prophet is so silent. But at this moment, the Prophet says, no, they talked about shirk. We can't be silent about that. The Prophet whispers to Umar and says, Umar, say Allah A'la wa azzu wa ajallu. Say Allah is higher. And he said, rise, Hubal. Hubal is high. He said, Allah is even higher. A'la wa ajal. right? And so that's one thing. Then Abu Sufyan goes and says, "Inna lal Uzza wa la Uzza lakum." He goes and says that we have another goddess. His name is Uzza. We have Uzza, and Uzza means like Izzat, right? We have respect. We have respect, and you have no respect, right? And then the Prophet again, he hears this, and he goes and says, "O Umar, say Allahu Mawlana wa la Mawlalakum." You know, like he's like, "Inna lal Uzza wa la Uzza lakum. Allahu Mawlana wa la Mawlalakum. Allah is our protector. You don't have any protector." Right, so now the Prophet is responding to everything. And Abu Sufyan's like, okay, man, this guy is too much right now. I can't really handle this. Abu Sufyan, he goes and says, he says that Yawmun bi Yawmi Badr. So this was the day in response as an exchange for what you did on Badr. Wal harbu sijal. He goes and says, harb, fighting is, it goes in between. It alternates, sometimes in your hand and sometimes in our hand. And Abu Sufyan, he goes and says this. He says that this day is for Badr and this is supposed to equate that. Umar radiallahu anhu says, "La sawa qatlana fil jannah wa qatlakum fil nar." He says very beautifully, and this is the reminder for everyone, that Umar radiallahu anhu says, there's nothing equal about Badr and Uhud. He says, our dead are in Jannah, your dead are in the fire. How is this anything equal? So this is the point that Muslims need to remember, is that there's no such thing as a loss for a Muslim. They are still victorious according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So at this moment, when they mention this, Abu Sufyan goes and says, We bested you today. We're coming back next year. We're coming to Amid Qabil. And the next year, we're going to come back. And so at that moment, Abu Sufyan packs his bags. The army packs his bags. And they start to depart and they start to leave. And this moment, you would say that the battle is finally at its low point, and everything starts to relax, right? Everything starts to go, you know, the battle is really over at this moment. And so when that happens, so the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his first thing, the thing that he wanted to do was to go see which Muslims were alive and which ones have passed away. So the Prophet starts to look around and they go back and they start to see who's alive and who's deceased. So they see a lot of people there. They saw this one man named Usaydim. Usaydim radiallahu anhu. Usaydim, they were surprised when they saw him. They said Usaydim was someone who didn't show any inclination towards Islam. But then they saw him on the battlefield dead, about to die. They said, "Oh, Usaydim, why are you here? Did you come because you wanted to defend your country, or did you want to defend Medina, or did you come because you actually wanted to become a Muslim?" Usaydim says, "I actually wanted to become a Muslim. I came here because why? Because I believed in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I wanted to fight with him. So when I came on this battlefield, I fought, and now look at me, and now he's going to become a martyr," right? He ends up passing away like that as a martyr. This is someone, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Amila qalilan wa ujida kathira." He's someone who did very little action, but he's been rewarded tremendously by Allah ta'ala. What was that thing? Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu used to give a trivia question to his companions. He used to say, "Who was that one companion who entered Jannah without praying a single salah?" Usaydim. Right? He used to brag about this person, Usaydim radiallahu anhu. You get another man named Abdullah bin Jahsh radiallahu anhu. Abdullah bin Jahsh and Sa'ad radiallahu anhu, before the battle, they raise their hands and make dua. Sa'ad radiallahu anhu makes dua, and Abdullah makes dua. They said, "Let's all make dua and say ameen to each other's dua." So Sa'ad radiallahu anhu raises his hand and says, "Ya Allah, on the battlefield, give me might and power. Let me go and fight someone. Let me fight like one of the strongest enemies there. Let me vanquish him and show him how much valor and how much courage I have. Let me defeat him on the battlefield." He makes his dua. They say ameen to the dua. Abdullah bin Jahsh radiallahu anhu also makes a dua. And he goes and says, "Ya Allah, let me find one of the biggest people on the battlefield. Let him cut off my nose and my ears. Let him finish me and make me a martyr. So that on the day of judgment, I can say, Ya Allah, these were cut off for your sake. And Ya Allah, I want you to say you've spoken the truth." And so what do you think happened? Abdullah radiallahu anhu, he passes away like that. You know, and then the Prophet tells us about what happened to Abdullah when he enters, when he meets Allah Ta'ala, and he's entering, he enjoys Jannah, right? Abdullah radiallahu anhu, Allah Ta'ala says, "Oh Abdullah, did you want anything else? Are you happy with what you have?" And he starts to think about it for a moment. He says, "Ya Allah, if you can let me go back and get killed one more time. Because that experience and happiness that I felt at that time of martyrdom, nothing can compare to that joy that he had." That's Abdullah bin Jahsh. They continue forward. They keep going. The Prophet says, "Where's Sa'ad ibn Rabi'ah? Where's Sa'ad ibn Rabi'ah?" So Sa'ad radiallahu anhu, the Prophet, you know, they pass by him and they see him on the ground, and he's also about to pass away. Same thing. He says, "Oh Sa'ad," the Prophet says, "How are you feeling? What do you find?" And so Sa'ad radiallahu anhu says, "I've been hit with 12 wounds." He says, "But I can smell the fragrance of Jannah right now." Subhanallah. Sa'ad radiallahu anhu says, "I want to make an announcement." So he says, "Yuqri'uka as-salam." The Prophet sends you salam. And then he says, "Wa ala rasulina as-salam. Wa ala rasulillahi as-salam." He says, "Upon the Messenger of Allah is salam." He says, and I want to make an announcement to all, he's an Ansari. He says to all the Ansar. So I'm making an announcement to all the Ansar. He says that if I hear, he's like, you know, he says, there's no excuse for any of you. That if I hear that the Prophet comes and, you know, and he ends up getting injured or wounded or hurt by the enemy, and you still are blinking eyes, meaning that you're still alive. He says, you have no excuse by me if I find that you're still alive and the Prophet gets injured. He makes this type of message. This is at this time of death. Do you understand what that means? At this time of passing away, he's thinking about the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I just wonder sometimes when I read these narrations, what will I think about? Now, what will come out of my heart at that moment when death is pushing, you know, and it's strangling you? What will come out? And so this moment, Sa'ad radiallahu anhu is thinking about the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You get Abdullah bin Amr ibn Haram radiallahu anhu. Abdullah is the father of Jabir radiallahu anhu. Abdullah, he tells Jabir, he says, Jabir, you stay home. You have many sisters to take care of and you can't come on the battlefield. I'll go on the battlefield instead. So Abdullah goes on the battlefield and he actually fights. He becomes a martyr. And so he becomes so injured and again, so many wounds that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually says to Jabir radiallahu anhu, when he tries to find his father, says, don't look at him. Don't look at him. And then finally, Jabir radiallahu anhu goes through and he sees what happened to his father. And so now Jabir radiallahu anhu is in tears. His family is in tears. And Jabir radiallahu anhu is thinking about all of his sisters, who's going to take care of them, who's going to care for them. The Prophet says, makes dua and says, don't worry, Jabir. Allah will take care of them. Then he says, oh, Jabir, would you like to know something? He says, what? He said, your father, Abdullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to him without any barrier in between. That's how much Allah ta'ala loved Abdullah bin Amr ibn Haram, radiallahu anhu. And so this is one another thing. Amr ibn Jamuh was another person they passed by. Amr ibn Jamuh was a person who had a leg which was crippled, or he was a person who had a leg which couldn't walk properly. And so that lame leg, and this is, by the way, a very old person. He has four sons. All of his sons are going for Uhud. And he said, you're leaving me behind? Why are you going to leave me behind? Take me with you. Take me with you. Amr ibn Jamuh says this to his sons. His sons say, father, Allah hasn't declared, you know, Allah has given you an excuse. You don't have to go and fight. You can stay back. And he's like, no. How are you going to go into Jannah without feet? You know, and he's like, so he starts to go onto the battlefield. He's limping. He's going with his cane or his crutch, and he's going forward. And he says, and he starts to argue, and his sons are arguing with him. They go to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, says, oh, Messenger of Allah, my father wants to come. We don't want to bring him. And so then Amr, the Prophet says, oh, Amr, you don't have to come. Allah didn't write it for you. Amr ibn Jamuh, he's not leaving the battlefield though. So he goes to his sons, and the Prophet actually goes to the sons first. He says, if he starts to argue with you again, don't argue with him. Okay, don't argue with him. So Amr ibn Jamuh goes onto the battlefield and he goes and says to the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, will I be able to walk in Jannah with my leg as this? Because he said, can I step into foot in Jannah with my leg like this? Prophet says, yes, you can walk into Jannah like that. Allah will revive it and restore it to normal. But yes, you can walk into Jannah like that. Allah will give you permission for that. So then when he passes away, the Prophet says, I saw Amr ibn Jamuh walking in Jannah with that leg. You know, and you have so many stories. And I don't have enough time. We have to keep moving in the story. But each one of them, even while they're passing away, you could see what type of life they lived, what kind of love they had. Then we saw the most terrible thing. Abu Sufyan, before he left, he said one last thing. He said that on the battlefield, he says, by the way, he mentioned to the Prophet, to Abu Bakr and Umar, he says, by the way, on the battlefield, there was some mutilation, some musla that happened, that the bodies were desecrated. The bodies were cut. People's bodies, body parts were cut. The nose was cut. The ears was cut. Right? They started to cut off body parts of the Muslims that died. And Abu Sufyan said, I didn't command them to do it, nor am I happy with it, but I'm not prohibiting them. They did it and they did it. So then when the Prophet starts to go through the battlefield and starts to see the deceased, he starts to come across Muslims, their bodies were desecrated. Their stomachs were ripped open. Their noses were cut off. Their ears were cut off. These things were starting being cut off. And the Prophet starts to see this. And you can imagine how gruesome of a scene that is. And then finally, it strikes the Prophet ﷺ about something super important. From the beginning of the battle, which we haven't mentioned till now, where's Hamza? Where's Hamza radiallahu anhu? So the Prophet ﷺ says, go find Hamza. And at that moment, what do we see? We come back to the battlefield. Hamza radiallahu anhu in the beginning, he finds this person, Siba, Wahshi. You know, he's the one who finishes Hamza radiallahu anhu. He's a Sahabi of the Prophet ﷺ. We love him too. But this battle, this part was very difficult. So Hamza radiallahu anhu, Wahshi says, I saw him on the battlefield. And I saw that Hamza radiallahu anhu was defeating anyone in front of him. This man named Siba came to challenge Hamza. And, you know, he's like, I'm the toughest man. And Hamza says, how dare you stand in front of Allah and his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so then, you know, Siba tries to fight him. Hamza, like one shot, like he says, he became like the past. He finished him, completely defeated him. And he started moving forward. Wahshi was told before the battle by Mut'im ibn Jubayr. Mut'im told him that if you can kill Hamza because he killed my uncle on the Battle of Badr, I will give you your freedom. I'll give you your freedom. So Wahshi says, I had no inclination for the battle. I wasn't there for anything of Mushrik versus Muslim or anything like that. I just came there because I wanted my freedom. So he takes his spear, and he's a great spearsman. So he sees that Hamza radiallahu is moving forward and forward and forward. And from the back, Wahshi radiallahu launches the spear and goes through Hamza. And Hamza radiallahu takes a couple of steps and he falls down. And he falls down. And once the battle became chaotic, then the wife of Abu Sufyan came onto the battlefield, and she sees Hamza, and she starts to tear open his nose, cut off his ears, and rip open his stomach, take out his liver, and starts to chew on it. And she spits it out. And she started to make a necklace out of the noses and the ears of the Muslims and started to brag about these things. Such despicable people on that day. Such terrible people. And so the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he sees Hamza radiallahu anhu and starts to cry. Starts to cry so much. Ibn Mas'ud said, we never saw the Prophet cry so much. When he heard that Hamza radiallahu anhu passed away, he started to cry. And when he came near the Prophet, Hamza radiallahu anhu's body on the ground, he started to bawl. Everything started to come out of his eyes. The Prophet was crying so much. And at that moment, seeing Hamza radiallahu anhu like so, it's only human. What is it? To go and say that, Wallahi, the Prophet said, Wallahi, the next battle we have, we're going to take 70 of them and mutilate all their bodies. We're going to rip off everything of their bodies. At that moment, the Sahaba said, yes, Rasulullah, if you said so, we're going to do it. Then the ayah came down. Allah said, oh Prophet, this is not the right way. If you are harmed, you harm them with the same thing that they harmed you. Don't do anything more. Okay, don't do anything more. Don't do this mutilation or anything like that. The Prophet at that time made tawbah. And he said, ya Allah, I will make kafara, for that oath that I took. I said, Wallahi, I will give an expiation for what I did. And the Muslims also expiated. And after that day, the Prophet used to tell the Sahaba, you're never allowed to mutilate the body. You're never allowed to harm the body. This is some non-Muslim terrible practice. Even nowadays, when these countries go to different places, they don't care. They really don't care. People look at these soldiers like people of fortresses of justice or something. You look at them like these are people of justice. I look at them as criminals. I look at them as criminals. I don't trust any of these soldiers. They go anywhere. They just cause harm. They kill people. They don't care what they do to bodies. I don't want to share stories. But this is what I look at. When I look at a Muslim soldier, one who's been trained on Quran and Sunnah, this man is a man of respect and honor. The Prophet sees this. And so now we have to finish the story of Wahshi, radiallahu anhu. He comes back. After he finishes Hamza, he sits down. And he actually doesn't participate in the battle. He actually runs away. He goes back to Makkah and he flees. He goes to Taif. He says, I don't want to deal with any of this anymore. He goes to Taif, but his heart is not feeling okay. And he's telling himself that what the Prophet is teaching is true. But he knows he can't go near the Prophet, so what is he going to do? How is he going to accept Islam? So finally, a delegation, a group of people are going from Taif to the Prophet. They're ambassadors. So he knows as a rule, you don't kill the envoy, you don't kill the ambassador. So Wahshi actually goes with them. He says, can I come with you? And says, yeah, you can come. So he goes down. He meets the Prophet and says, O Messenger of Allah, I accept Islam. I accept Islam. The Prophet looks at him and says, weren't you the man who killed Hamza? And he says, yes, I was, Ya Rasulullah. The Prophet said, you accepted Islam, you're a Muslim, but please don't stand in front of me. Just make sure to stand on the right or my left. Because why? Because if I look at you, I'll remember Hamza. The Prophet was so sad. He was so sad. You know, people were crying over the deceased. You know, there were women that were crying over the deceased. Yet the Prophet said, there's these women that are crying, these women are crying, but no one's crying for Hamza. No one's crying for Hamza. So then the Ansar woman heard this and they started to cry for Hamza. And so they started crying very loudly. And so what did the Prophet say afterwards? So this is not allowed for you. The Prophet said it's not longer allowed. People should not come. And people often, they have this habit nowadays, especially in America, it's all free country, right? Do whatever you want, right? Even Islam, do whatever you want, right? It's like a supermarket Islam. You go there, just buy whatever, right? You go in the, it's like a Chick-fil-A type of, Islam, get in there, Chipotle type of Islam, get in there, just whatever you want, right? Take it and go. So people just bring what? Every sister comes nowadays to janazas, like it's all a good thing. You know, it's something that you have to remember this. I just want to mention this as a nasiha. You know, we really have, I'm not going to finish the story today, definitely not. Just want to mention this as a nasiha. I went to a janazah the other day and, they brought sisters. Okay, and sometimes sisters will ask this question, can I go to the janazah? Can I attend and all these things? And generally speaking, in terms of Islamically speaking, women don't go for janazah. This is just a general rule. Right? It's better that what? The person will stay home and make dua. Right? It's for you to see the deceased is not going to help the person. You know what I'm saying? for you to make dua for them will. And a woman's heart is so soft and tender. Her duas reach Allah Ta'ala much faster than you and I. It takes forever for us to cry. She's already crying from home hearing about the news. So keeping that in mind, what happens is what? Certain sisters, because they say, oh, but there's some permissibility in certain matahib, whatever. So they come and they start to attend. And so what happens is when you start to attend, sister, many times your mother will like to attend and your auntie would like to attend. And every other woman in the family wants to attend because why? Because she's coming. So what? So maybe you are, mashallah, raised on a very strong, you know, you have your own like solid personality or whatever it might be. But maybe your mother doesn't or your grandmother doesn't. So what happened at this janaza? They said for the woman to come, the woman to come forward and see the body. And so what happens is women started to cry so loud, it's in Bangla, she started to say that, who took you here? Who brought you to America? Why did you even come here? And all these things start screaming loud, I'm talking about. So actually, and this is the thing, and people don't understand this. When if you cry like that in front of the deceased, and it's not one woman, all the women are crying like this. So I go to them, I tell them in Bangla, I said that this is not right. The lash, the corpse will be punished because you're crying like this. It's a serious matter. Our ulama were very stern about this. So if you know for a fact, you can't handle it, then just don't go there. And if you think your family will start coming too, then better play on the safe side instead of this person being punished. So I can look at the deceased one last time. I'll see their external body, but internally they're being punished in the grave. I don't want that to happen. So we should try our best, inshallah ta'ala. And I only mentioned this out of nasihat, genuine nasihat, that please be careful when you go there. Be careful of your words. If you want to cry, you can cry. But make sure you keep it on the low. Even the Prophet ﷺ was Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu anhu. But the Prophet never forgot about Hamza. You know this. When someone was born into Medina, one little kid was born in Medina, they asked, Ya Rasulullah, give us a good name for the kid. Give us a good name. The Prophet said, name him Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib. Name him Hamza. The Prophet loves him so much. So when Wahshi radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm glad. He said, I thank Allah that Allah, he honored Hamza through me. He made him a martyr. And I'm glad that Hamza didn't disgrace me by killing me as a disbeliever. You know, Hamza, Wahshi radiallahu anhu said this to the Prophet. And then he said, oh, Messenger of Allah, please seek forgiveness from Allah for me because I don't feel happy of what I did. And he doesn't feel happy about it. It's just something he did. The Prophet actually does this. And Quraysh actually came to the Prophet and said, how could you ever forgive Wahshi? He killed Hamza. So the Prophet, he came to Wahshi radiallahu anhu when he asked, please ask for forgiveness. The Prophet, this is the thing the Arabs do. It's like, hit him on the chest. He said, oh, Wahshi, the same way you used to fight on the battle, the same way you need to continue fighting on the battle. Every battle, continue to go and fight. Said, oh, Wahshi, then your forgiveness will be written for you. So what does Wahshi do? He takes the advice of the Prophet ﷺ, and he continues to fight after battle, after battle, after battle, after battle, after battle. He keeps going. Finally, his opportunity comes with the biggest, you know, I don't want to use a bad word for him, not the nicest guy, Musaylimah al-Kazzab, a false prophet who came after the Prophet ﷺ. He was in his lifetime. He came to the Prophet ﷺ, you know, he brought his ambassadors there, he brought his envoys there, and he said, oh, Messenger, he says, oh, Messenger of Allah, you are a messenger of Allah, I'm a messenger of Allah. Musaylimah says, his ambassador says, you know, brings a message that you are a messenger, I'm a messenger. Musaylimah has said, how about we split the world in half? You take half the world, I take the other half. The Prophet says, we're holding like a miswak at that time. He said, I'm not even going to give you half of this miswak. You think I'm going to give? Musaylimah is a clown. If I had enough time to clown him, I would. But I don't have enough time for it. But the Prophet said, if it wasn't for the fact we don't kill envoys, I would have finished you guys right now too. Don't act like this is something I like. The Prophet hated this idea. There's no prophet after the Prophet. So Musaylimah, in one battle, he's up there on the on one of the, he climbs a wall and he's standing up there like boasting about how great he is, right? And he's like, look at me, you know, look how powerful I am. The Muslims are fighting his army and everything. Look how powerful I am. Wahshi is there. He's holding his spear and he sees the biggest red target he's ever seen in his life. This man is like this, right? And so his chest is open. And mind you, remember, he killed Hamza from the back. So when he throws the spear, he throws it from the front and hits Musaylimah dead on his chest, drops him, he falls over, and he drops dead. So Wahshi radiallahu anhu said, I made up for Hamza by killing Musaylimah. So I want to remind you all of that, because why? Because you should not think bad about Wahshi radiallahu anhu. Something happened on the battlefield, it happened. So the Prophet, he sees this, he sees what happened to Hamza, and he sees what happened to Mus'ab, and he sees what happened to this and that. You know, he sees all this stuff that's happening. And so the Prophet, again, it's something he's holding within himself. And so now they need to start to shroud the bodies. Before he started to shroud the bodies, the Prophet says, all the Sahaba come. And so the Prophet starts to pray two rakats of Salah. When he starts to pray these two rakats of Salah, the Prophet, he makes a very important dua at the end. It's a dua, it reads like this. Allahumma lakal hamdu kullu.
اللهم لا قابض لما بسطت ولا باسط لما قبضت ولا هادي لمن أضللت ولا مضل لمن هديت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا معني لما أعطيت ولا مقرب لما بعدت ولا مبعد لما قربت. اللهم ابسط علينا من بركاتك ورحمتك وفضلك ورزقك. For the Prophet is making a long dua, making a long dua at that moment, making dua for all the martyrs and everyone that passed away. Ya Allah, he started making dua, and then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says to all the Sahaba and saying, oh Sahaba, understand, أنا شهيد على هؤلاء يوم القيامة. I will bear witness for all of them on the day of judgment. I will bear witness for all of them on the day of judgment. And so now comes the time to, the Prophet says, and says, for all the martyrs here, take off their armor, take off their chainmail, and bury them with their blood. Don't clean their blood. Because on the day of judgment, the blood will come out like musk, fresh musk, beautiful musk. But and so let them bury like that. And because on the day of judgment, this will be a sign for them, from everyone, that they were true martyrs for Allah's sake. So when the time comes to burying them, the grieving starts. So some women start to come onto the battlefield. One of them is Safiya radiallahu anha. Safiya is the aunt of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the sister of Hamza radiallahu anhu. She comes onto the battlefield, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells Zubair, who is her son, says, "Oh Zubair, stop your mother. Don't let her come, because if she's Hamza, she'll become so worried and so scared, and she'll start to cry." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to Zubair, says he goes to Safiya, and Safiya radiallahu anha says, "No, don't worry. I already heard he died. I already heard he was mutilated. That's fine. I want to see my brother. Let me see my brother." She goes there, and look at how much control and strength she has. This is true strength and control. Many times in this country, they're telling women to have financial independence. That's true strength. Whereas Muslims, we know that true strength is internal, that you have true qualities. This is true strength. She comes to her brother and sees him like this. She says, "May Allah forgive you." Inna lillahi inna raji'un. She sees him like this. He says, "Inna lillahi raji'un." Then she brings, she says, "Ya Rasul, I have two shrouds. Hamza radiallahu anhu to be buried in these two coffins." He brought this in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet takes them and then he gives it to the Sahaba to clothe Hamza. So what happens is when they clothe Hamza, they see that there's another companion that doesn't have any shroud. So they say, okay, one for this person, one for that person. Yet when they put it onto Hamza, they find that the cloth is not big enough to cover his body. You and I, at least, subhanAllah, when you and I passed away, we have a kafan. When they come to Mus'ab radiallahu anhu, they see him, and I told you, Qari of the Qur'an, reciter of the Qur'an, person that the Prophet sent to Medina to teach all the Muslims of Medina, Mus'ab radiallahu anhu, the man who used to hold the flag for the Prophet ﷺ, Mus'ab radiallahu anhu, extraordinary individual. At the time when he passed away, his kafan could not even cover his whole body. They had to actually get some grass and use the other grass to cover the other side. When they try to cover his head, his feet will be exposed. When they try to cover his feet, his head will be exposed. So finally they said, cover his head and put the grass on his feet to cover him. This is how it happened. The Prophet ﷺ, because there's so many, 70 people passed away on that battle. So what does the Prophet ﷺ do? They have to create all these qabrs, right? They open up all these qabrs. So then the Prophet ﷺ, what does he do? He says, put two or three of them within one qabr. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, which one is ayyuhum aktharu akhdan lil Quran? The Prophet ﷺ said, which one has more Quran? Which one memorized more Quran? Then they said, so and so. So the Prophet ﷺ says, bury him first. Put him first in the ground. Because why? This person would be the honor for everyone else to come forward. And so the Prophet will actually find different people that passed away too. You know, the people that we mentioned before, Abdullah bin Amr ibn Haram, Abdullah bin Jahsh, all these people, you know, Amr ibn Jamuh, radiallahu anhu. The Prophet said they love each other, so put them in one grave. You know, because why? Because when you are in the area of the barzakh, whoever is next to you are the people that will be with you in that grave area. And on the day of judgment, when you raise, who you raise next to? People next to your qabr. People don't think about these things. Everyone just throw them wherever you want. No, put them next to someone that he cares about. SubhanAllah. They want to be buried next to Allah. Let it happen, man. SubhanAllah. Don't be mean. You know, things like that. So this is the way the Prophet used to think. You know, this is what we should think about. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet was doing this burying. And now they start, once everything happens, and now they start to move back and head back to Medina. On the way back to Medina, you can imagine that there are women that are starting to come out and start to notice that nothing, you know, things aren't okay. One of the women that they meet is Hamna bint Jahsh. Hamna, radiallahu anha, her brother passed away, her uncle passed away, and her husband passed away. Her brother passed away, Abdullah bin Jahsh. Her uncle passed away, she was the niece of Hamza radiallahu anhu. So now they start to tell her the news about what happened. So she hears that her brother passed away, she says, Inna lillahi inna ilayhi raji'un. May Allah grant him the best. No? Then her uncle, her uncle passed away, she says, Inna lillahi inna ilayhi raji'un. May Allah grant him the best. Then she hears her husband passed away. Her husband is Mus'ab radiallahu anhu. And she starts crying. She says, what a big loss. What a big loss. You know, he was an amazing person on the outside. Imagine how he was a husband on the inside. And so the Prophet actually said that Inna zawj al-marati minha illa bi makan. Prophet said that the husband of this wife, really, he has a really great status. You know, she starts crying and crying and crying. She couldn't take it, you know. This type of sadness comes. Then another woman, they come forward and they start to go. And now what happens to her? She lost her brother, she lost her husband, and she lost her father in the Battle of Uhud. Right? They start to tell her one after the other, your brother passed away. She said, so what is the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam doing? They said, your husband passed away. So what is the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam doing? Then he said, your father passed away. So what is the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam doing? They asked and said, oh sister, the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is fine. Is exactly how you want him to be. He's completely fine. She said, I need to see him. It's not going to work. I need to see him. Farunihi, show me him. So then he goes and sees him. And then she goes and says, Kullu musibatin ba'daka jalalu. She says, every musibah after seeing you, Messenger of Allah, is small. Who cares anymore? Our lives, you know, we have go through a lot of trouble. Don't worry, once you meet the Prophet on the Hawd, forget about it. Those struggles and difficulties you had, when you meet the Prophet, forget about it. Who even cares at that moment, subhanAllah? And then another woman comes, and the Prophet meets them, and then he goes and says, same thing, he goes and says, oh, so-and-so, your son passed away, I'm so sorry for you. Then she goes and says, Ya Rasulullah, after seeing you, what do I even care? This is true iman, this is true taqwa, this is what it means to be a true Muslim, mashallah. This is what it was at that time. This is when they showed true love for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And unfortunately, because of the shortness of time, we're not able to actually, the Battle of Uhud is not actually over. There's one last part that I will just basically leave on a cliffhanger because we have a short amount of time. When the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam heads back to Medina, right, he actually sends Ali radiallahu anhu out. He says, go and scout the area. So Ali radiallahu anhu goes out and he actually sees that the Quraysh are, the Prophet says, see if they're on their horses or on their camels. If they're on their horses, if they're on their camels, that means they're heading back to Mecca. If they're on their horses, it means they're coming back to Medina. So he says, Ali radiallahu anhu, go. And Ali radiallahu anhu goes and he starts to see that they're on their camels. So it's like a good sign. But the Prophet has a feeling in his heart and it's just not settling. So the Prophet goes back home. He takes off his armor and takes off his sword and everything like that. And the Muslims, you can imagine that night was a very difficult night. Many Muslims probably couldn't sleep because of the fact that they realized that we disobeyed Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and all the difficulty came because we disobeyed Allah and His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And by the way, this is a reminder for you and I, that if you think you're going to get good of dunya because you disobey Allah and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, forget about it. There's no goodness in dunya. You'll lose everything. The Muslims and Uhud showed you that. So at that moment, what happened was, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he couldn't sleep all night. He was thinking about that maybe the Quraysh would return. So the whole night he sent out scouts. The whole night this activity was happening. And the whole night the Prophet was thinking, perhaps they will come back. And that's actually what happened in the next part, inshallah, which we will cover next time. May Allah grant us all tawfiq and understanding. Allow us to take this benefit from Uhud. Allow us to take it back home, that we need to understand as Muslims that these were great men that passed away. And they showed Allah Ta'ala what it meant to be a true Muslim. All you and I show in front of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. May Allah grant us tawfiq and understanding, inshallah. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اغفر لنا يا مولانا إنك الغفور الرحيم. اللهم أرنا الحق حقه وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطله وارزقنا اجتنابه. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين. الحمد لله.